Am I echoing?
A little.
I wonder what's up with that. All right. Well, we'll see how it works out. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Tuesday night with the double L's. And the other half of the L's are still in Virginia. How you doing, Chris?
It is lovely here on this lovely, balmy, nearly summer day heat.
It's that warm, huh?
Oh, God, it is. Tremendously nice. I've heard somewhere by Thursday we're supposed to be 78.
Wow. Very
no
cool.
Rain,
yeah.
No rain in the forecast till Saturday.
Wow. Well, the fishing reports I'm going to give in a little while then should really fall into play for everybody. Awesome. Sounds good. Well, it's been pretty nice down here in Florida also. It's supposed to get up to 80 by Saturday, so it must be a warm front on the whole East Coast, I guess. Very good. Is it still echoing?
I don't hear it. I just ask in the chat room if they still hear it.
No, Chip said it's good now. Sorry, guys, about that in the beginning. And speaking of the chat room, let's see who we got in there now. We got some people coming in. Chip Gibson. Who else is in there? Mark Landing Crew Wheeler, who we also have on the phone with us. Double Dip. How's that leg doing, buddy? We got Stu, Old Bill. Hey, there's Rich Jones and Tommy V. Very cool. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And thank you for tagging along all this time. It's something that I don't never do, and I should do more, is to thank all of you listeners and everyone out there for tuning in. If it wasn't for you guys, none of us would have a show any night during the week. So we appreciate you guys hanging in there with us for an hour or more every night of the week, rambling on. So hopefully we're keeping it going here with you, and everybody's enjoying it. Appreciate it. Getting to the upcoming events, like I always do in the beginning. My biggest upcoming event is next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday. My fat butt's heading home to Virginia, so that's the most exciting upcoming event I got going on, and that's for good this time. So I like Florida, but I'm ready to get the heck out of here. And then after that, a few days later, I will be going with Chris to Richmond to the Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Fishing Expo. Everybody that's in our area, please come by and check it out. They're really plugging this to be a pretty good show. I keep getting reports back from the gentleman who's running it, Kevin, and the vendor list has just grown. We got a lot of great speakers going to be there. They're even going to have, listen to my English, it's getting gooder and gooder. They're even going to have a indoor tank, little pool, I guess, the guys put in there for trying out kayaks inside. So come on up. I know Frank Bandy from Tar River Paddle Sports is going to be there with new canoes. He's going to have that brand new Frontier. Kayak Kevin's also going to be up there. So seems like it's going to be a real good show. Mark Davis, who has his own fishing show on one of the outdoor networks, is going to be there all weekend. And several other celebrities I know are going to be there. There's going to be Hatteras Jack, so surf fishermen. There'll be plenty of stuff to go on there. And it's all saltwater, no boat show. It's all fishing. So hopefully we'll see some of you there. Chris and I will be set up at the first landing kayak fishing booth. We're going to have some marsh works and stuff there with us. So stop by and say hi. I think Chris has still got some kayak fishing radio swag to give away. You still got some stuff left over?
I sure do. Ask me nice. I might give some up.
There you go. So you can get your own kayak fishing radio sticker to slap on the side of your kayak or your vehicle. I think we got some of those and patches left too. So come on by and say hi. And that same weekend, one of our good listeners who's not with us tonight, Tom Mattal, is directing for the MS Shad Shootout. It's going to be in Richmond that same weekend. It's a tournament benefiting MS Research, and he was going to ask us tonight to put up a little link to the site so anybody wants to join. Good event. And the shad are starting to run now. I got a report from them coming up the Roanoke River. So by 2 weeks from now, if Chris's warm weather trend sticks around, the shad should be on fire. If you guys have not ever caught some shad on the river, it's a lot of fun. I did it a couple of years ago with a guide from Orvis. Corey and I were up there on the river with him. And that's a lot of fun. Little poor man's tarpon, they call them, on the fly. It's a blast. Plus, this tournament's also raising money for a good cause. So y'all give it a check and maybe come up for the weekend, do some shad fishing, and come over to the saltwater show. And then Chris and I are going to go Saturday evening to the event for that. They're having their awards ceremony, I guess is what you call it, at the what do you say that was at? Nah, I don't recall. You can find it on the website. Anyway, we're going to go check that out. So a lot of things coming up the pike for local shows. So everybody go check it out in tournaments. I believe, too, that TKA's tournament registration opens up in the next couple days because I got a notice the other day if you had fished a tournament earlier, you get first crack at it. I think he said 6 or 7 days from then is when they're going to open it up to the public. So any of you guys who are going to fish the TKA tournament, registration should be opened up pretty soon for you. If you have not fished that event, come on up and join us. It's the week before the boondoggle, so maybe you can take some vacation time off and spend a whole week with us up in Virginia Beach and fish the tournament and stick around and do the boondoggle. And speaking of boondoggle, I've already heard that some people are starting to book cabins. Who said they were booking them already, Chris? Chip and somebody else, didn't he?
Yak, sushi, yak. Already.
Yeah, the Hexushi. Yes.
Yep.
So that's pretty exciting. They just got back from the last one. They're already booking their cabins for the next one. You think they want to go or what?
And I tell you what, it's highly recommended considering, A, there's limited cabins available. B, it is a holiday weekend.
Yeah. So Chris is going to put up the link tonight to get for you to get in touch with the campground. There's plenty of other places to stay if you don't fit in there, and there's also two major campgrounds. They're down at the ocean front. We have, was it a KOA, and I don't know, there's two more down at the ocean front. We'll get that information to you guys, and they're much, excuse me, larger campgrounds that would accommodate big motorhomes and anything like that. That's where the big bike week and all that stuff goes on. So they're much larger. They're just not as close to the area we'll probably be fishing the most, which will be Lynn Haven in the mouth of the bay. But there's definitely enough places to stay around there for camping-wise. And then, of course, we have hotels. We have more hotels than you can shake a stick at. So you'll definitely find a place to stay.
Two of the hotels are with less than a mile away from the state park, so I'm going to try to get to them and see if we can't work something out. I know one of them is part of the Founders Inn. That might not.
Right.
But the little one is, I believe, independently owned. What is it, a Howard Johnson or something like that? That's right there at Shore Drive.
Yeah, by the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Right next to the Dunkin' Donuts. There is a hotel at the Dunkin' Donuts, right next to the Dunkin' Donuts. I'm on a diet. Did I say Dunkin' Donuts yet?
And we'll see how many more times we can get you to say that tonight.
Oh, probably a lot. I've been to the gym. I'm really hungry. That chocolate oatmeal didn't do it for me.
I won't tell you what I had for dinner then.
What did you have for dinner?
There you go.
Never mind. I'm sure they don't want to hear that.
I had steak and baked potato and a Caesar salad. Yeah, Tom Vanderheiden put up a good point right there on the chat room too, that your military, the military, you can book on NAS Oceana and Damn Neck. Very good, Tom. Yep, they got a nice little creek too. Yep, see, everybody's plugging away now. So there's definitely enough places, or maybe you can hook up with somebody that is military or has a retired military card or whatever. The one on actually, the one on Damn Neck's very nice because it's right on the beach too, so you can do a little drag it over the dunes and be in the water, get a little extra fishing time in down there at the ocean front. So, yeah, there's definitely enough places to stay. So, and we're going to have a lot of good fishing going on at that time, so don't forget Boondoggle. You can get your information at...
And with that, if anybody's interested in sponsoring or sending us some goodies for our raffles, by all means, get a hold of Mark and I, and we make sure it goes to the right places.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're going to make sure we get plenty of that going and start hitting all of our sponsors up. We'll get some goodies together. So for all your information, make sure you can either get it here at kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle, or you can always go to yakangler.com, and they have the Boondoggle link on there. And plus, you can get all of your kayak info at yakangler.com. If you're not aware of it, go check it out. Great site. It's a lot of info on there, a lot of good product reviews, so go check it all out. But we look forward to seeing all of you. Hope a lot of people can join us up there. It's going to be a pretty good time, I think. Now everybody knows we're talking about Dunkin' Donuts on the chat room. I always tell myself I'm not going to read the chat room because I'll get distracted. So, all right, well, we got the Boondoggle out of the way. So, I got some fishing reports here. It's kind of funny. I got it's kind of made me go with tonight's topic here in a little bit. But now that we're doing the radio show, and all of a sudden people start sending me some fishing reports. That's kind of, I never got people telling me anything before, but now I'm on a radio show and they want to give me some fishing reports. So I don't know if that's because they don't want me to go there, so they're telling me bogus stuff, so I'll show up somewhere else, or no, I'm just joking, but it is kind of funny. I started getting emails and texts from people around telling me what's going on out there, so I appreciate that. And if anybody's listening or in the chat room there or on podcast, by all means, if you ever have a report you want to put up, you don't got to give us your top secret landings or whatever, but we'll be glad to share your information as soon as I get back to good old Virginia. On our Facebook page, First Landings Facebook page, I'm going to keep the reports going, get everybody geared up for Boondoggle. But, yeah, so the first two reports I got are from North Carolina, but I know we have some North Carolina listeners, and the one came from Frank Bandy from Tar River Paddle Sports, who I just mentioned earlier is going to be at the Richmond show, and he's a owner of a kayak shop down there. He sells new canoe kayaks and Surf to Summit gear. So anyway, he's been having a great time down there. He said the shad are already really good in his neck of the woods, and striper in the river. I believe he fishes both Roanoke and the Tar River, obviously Tar River Paddle Sports. But Frank said he had a lot of good times. As a matter of fact, he was supposed to go up to see Luther and rig up his new Frontier today, but he canceled on Luther just to go shad fishing because it's so good. So you know, if you're going to get your boat rigged with Yak Attack stuff or go fishing and you drop Luther to go fishing, it must be pretty good. So, and then Mark Patterson, who we had on a couple of weeks ago as a guest, they just kicked off their online challenge. They had a practice run, so to speak, this past weekend. And he said that the big bass, the big female bass, Mark, you know more about this. Maybe you talk about it tomorrow night. I'm not going to. But anyway, he said they're starting to show up. I guess they're getting ready to start betting maybe because it's starting to warm up. And he said they were catching them in like 2 to 5 foot of water. So that's pretty good. And he said also the crappie are moving in underneath the docks and the lay down trees and stuff. So the freshwater bite's starting to look good for that part of the country. And then he had more of my speed. He said the flounder are starting to show up pretty good in the creeks and stuff down in the Outer Banks, Southern Outer Banks. A lot of reports from small flounder, but they're starting to catch some flounder down there. He said a lot of little schools of reds. The reds that they were picking up, he said, were all laying up on the edges. So I'm understanding that is his report, that they're probably waiting for that bottom to warm up, getting on the edges there. And as that flood tide's coming in, they're probably moving in with the tide and going after the little crustaceans and things that are starting to pop up. I've already heard reports of the mud minnows starting to come out, and little crabs and all, so they'll start coming out of their little hibernation mode. So that'll be a great spot to start looking on those banks, those sunny banks, when they start warming up in the mornings now, even though we never really got a hard winter. It's still when the water temperature's down, so they're going to look for those warm edges. As that sun warms up, they'll come out of their deeper constant temperature holes and start creeping out. So he said they've been catching some nice reds down around the – he usually fishes the Oak Island area, more southern outer banks, I guess that is, down below Jacksonville. So
down, so
sounds like they're starting –
warm
what's that?
As that sun warms up, they'll come out of their
– sorry, that was me playing with some links. Sorry.
The Dunkin' Donuts. She's missing them Dunkin' Donuts. She's getting all giddy on the keyboard. I'll stop and get you a Dunkin' Donut on the way home, honey.
That's not even funny. You have any idea how many points is one darn donut?
Lost stuff in the chat room. You're not online anymore.
I am.
Oh. Sorry, folks. Got some technical difficulties going on. Anyway, back to the fishing reports. So locally, we usually tag along there with Julie Ball and get our reports from her, and Ocean's East 2 gives us a lot of good reports. And I've heard better reports from up in our area, which isn't uncommon this time of year, for this flounder. Is Chuck in here tonight? Chat room started filling back up.
No, I don't see him.
No, no Chuck. Well, Chuck, I'm talking about flounder in Virginia, and you're not here. I don't know what's the problem. Anyway, so the Eastern Shore, which is usually a common thing in our neck of the woods, they start to see the flounder first on the Eastern Shore, and then they start coming in more towards the bay. You can catch them a little further off the Chesapeake buoy line. On the little humps and wrecks out there, but definitely the Eastern Shore starts to see them first, and they are already starting to catch good numbers of flounder. And remember, the flounder have went down to 16.5, so it's a little easier to have a keeper flounder now, 4 per person, but that's a good sign. If the flounder are coming in, that's why I always judge weather. Most of the time the fish, they know when it's time to come in, and that means things are changing. So the flounder are moving in. As much as I hate to say it, the croaker are starting to get picked up in the nets. That's my little personal, I'm not a big net guy. I'm not very fond of those nets out there, but it is something that we judge the fish by in our region. When the croaker start getting picked up in the nets, they're coming back in also. It takes them a little while. Look at Tommy V getting all excited. It takes them a little while to chew. They come in, they kind of get orientated again, and then they'll start feeding here in a couple weeks. But definitely croaker are in the nets, and I heard some bluefish in those same pound nets that they're catching. So that's all good signs. Bluefish, they usually show up in Rudy Inlet first, as everybody in our area knows. All the bait comes in, and the bluefish chomp it all up, and then there's nothing going on for a couple weeks after that. But anyway, so that's a good sign. And then the river, Elizabeth River, still doing very well for speckled trout, averaging 18 to 20 inches, a few up to 26. Said twitch baits are working real good. I'm sure a Mirodyne, something in the gold and black back, something tan in water. You kind of got to have a little contrast going on there, but gold or gold glitter in your artificial, if you use an artificial. I think it was last weekend, a young lady, her first kayak fishing trip to the river, caught a 25-inch speck in the cove.
I believe 27.
Oh, is it 27? I know that was under live bait, though.
It was a really big one.
Yes, it was.
Trout, speckled trout.
4 big ones and a dozen donuts. Chip's all excited. He's going to get 4 flounder and a dozen donuts, I guess.
Ooh, we just don't need to tell him where Krispy Kreme is. We can make some sort of deal with Chip. Where does he live? What state is he in exchange for a fishing trip to his back of the woods?
He lives in Atlanta.
Oh, never mind. Get that.
He said he needs some Crocane Marsh Works.
Yeah,
give me an address.
Heard that.
We'll take care of you. We'll take care of you, Chip. We'll get you some Crocane Marsh Works. I put Chuck on the spot last night. That was pretty funny. Mark, you were here last night, weren't you?
He muted himself, honey.
Well, unmute him.
Okay. Mr. Wheeler.
Wait.
Yes.
Mark is talking to you.
I know. I've been answering him.
Oh, but you're wrong.
I'm trying to equip him with my own comments. But
I think your wife called ahead. Your wife called ahead and told her to do that. I'm sorry, dear. That wasn't very nice.
It's okay.
I'm afraid when I get home, she's going to look. I'm going to have my own mute button when I get back to the house.
You know, I have a question for Mr. Wheeler. Now, since you brought wife up again, you know, remember when you went to the boondoggle and your wife told you to stay in budget?
Yes.
Oh, honey.
Did you? Did you stay within budget? It was kind of funny. She posted it on Facebook. I always meant to ask you.
Yes, I did stay in budget.
So you
I came home actually under budget.
Awesome.
Sure.
So, all is well in my household
Wow.
for that little moment of time.
Wow, I was just saying, hello, Mark. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but that was pretty funny. I have to admit, when your wife did that to you on Facebook in front of everybody, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was talking about putting Chuck on the spot last night. He's not in the room here tonight. I wish he was, because I'm sure he'd probably be putting me on the spot, but that was pretty funny last night. I didn't mean to make him backpedal. I was just joking him. Anyway. All right, well, that's what we got for fishing reports in our region and in the North Carolina area. Like I said earlier, if anybody ever wants to shoot us a report or call in, by all means, all of you in the chat room or listening on podcast later, call the show, call any one of them. We'll always be glad to take a report from you and give us a fishing story. I always love hearing fishing stories and how other people do things like that, you know, fishing and what's going on out there, so... Never too young to learn. So call the show anytime. Tell us what's going on wherever you're fishing. Oh, and one more thing on the fishing report. I'm looking at my notes here. I got sidetracked. Striper, big striper again. So I heard of up to 46-inch rockfish coming in front of the bay. So get out there and find you some of those big striper. They're all moving back in, going to do their spawn thing up inside the bay. So definitely be some good fun out there. I think they've been doing pretty good at the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel when you can get out. And it sounds like the weather's going to cooperate with that. I know Forrest has been out doing pretty good on the striper around the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. So Bay Bridge Tunnel would be on fire probably pretty good here. But you have to get out there a little deeper for those bigger cows. So... Mr. Wheeler, what are you doing? Are you going fishing anytime soon?
Hopefully this weekend. I'm going to probably hit either Rudy or Lynn Haven. I've got to perfect my, or just become at least somewhat proficient at speckled trout fishing. So, you know, head in there, you know, try to pound them out.
Yeah, speckled trout. That's about that time. Well, you give me a call when you're on the water. I'll try to see if I can talk you through it. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. So we're going to talk about a fishing network tonight and building a network and who you trust and what you like to tell people or what you don't like to tell people, where you get your information and things like that. So I got you on the phone now, Mark, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions just to see how you feel about the whole thing. And before I do that, though, I'm going to give two quick stories. Besides for the fishing reports I received, things that made me kind of think about making this tonight's topic was, one was when Chris and I first started fishing together, we would come back in, we had a good morning on the water or whatever the case may be, and we come back into Lynn Haven. For those of you who fish Crab Creek, you know, you come up to the sand there, there's always somebody launching or coming back in at the same time. These people would always say, "How'd y'all do?" I was like, all right. Chris, knowingly, we just caught a bunch of reds or trout or whatever the case may be, and she looks at me. So finally, she's like, "Why don't you tell people?" I said, "You'll figure it out. Don't worry. Don't take long. You tell somebody what you did, and then they start, you know." But I don't like to tell a lot of people what's going on out there. Second thing I had was, it was a pretty funny story, and neither of those people are in the chat room right now either, but working at Ocean's East, we had a couple new kayak anglers to the area. This is a couple years ago. And they'd come in the shop all the time and pick my brain and, you know, what should I use? What should I take? And where should I go? And I'd help them out. Of course, I don't tell everybody where I go, all the, you know, my secret spots, but I'll tell them where to go find fish. So anyway, these two went out one Saturday afternoon, I guess it was, and they did really well on Red Drum in Lynn Haven. Nice fish. Came back home, and like all new anglers catching nice fish, put it all over the TKA board. We caught all these reds. They came in the shop the following morning to get some more stuff to go back out. And I looked at them and said, you guys, you just made a big mistake. No, they didn't. No, we're fine. I was like, okay. I said, but you made a big mistake. They came back in that same day in the afternoon, said there was about 6 kayaks parked on top of the spot that they caught all their fish from yesterday that they put their report up on TKA. And I said, wow, tried to tell you, you made a big mistake. So it's not necessarily that you're being rude or whatever the case may be when you hold back information, but sometimes you need to be a little protective of where you fish. And a lot of it, to me personally, is the fact that I found those fish. I did my homework. I did what I wanted to do and figured it out. And they're my fish, so to speak. Not my fish, but I found them. So I'm going to keep that in my little pocket and I'll use it. And if I want to tell somebody, I will. And that brings me to the next thing. So who do you tell and who don't you tell? So, Mark, who do you tell when you get in a good place to fish, whether it be fresh or salt water? When do you tell somebody or when do you not tell somebody? And who are the people you like to tell?
For me, and, you know, this is starting from about now and in the past, I wasn't fishing all the time. But if I knew I wasn't fishing for, like, let's say 2 weeks in that area, I give up the spot because fish move and, you know, that's why they have fins, you know. And so they would travel around, you know, no big deal. And I give them, you know, try this spot. You know, I had some success there. But now that I'm, you know, starting to look towards guiding and everything else, those spots are precious. And I'll be fishing, you know, almost every day. You know, it's going to take an active guide to get my mouth to pry open on those spots. But usually, you know, if it's a guy, if I'm out there fishing and, you know, this is a guy who just can't, you can usually watch someone. I watch people a lot while I'm on the water, halfway to steel tech, steal what they're doing. And, you know, either A, it's, you know, positive or B, it's negative. But to be able to, you know, go, you know, see that, you know, if a guy's having trouble, you know, I call them over and be like, you know, try this. You know, I've been catching with this, you know, just to be cordial, I guess is the best way to put it. But, yeah, now it's pretty much my lips are sealed.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's not a fact of being rude or something like that. It's just, you know, we're all fishermen, anglers here, and you do the work or whatever. Chris says, yes, it is. But you got to be careful. And the problem with that, too, is sometimes is you might tell one person, but the coconut telegraph gets to work, and the next thing you know, he tells someone and so on and so on. So kind of ruins it for you there, too. And we got another caller on the line, so I'm going to take that. Who we got here? Stu, what's going on?
How's it going?
Hey, Stu, what's up, buddy? How you, mate?
Pretty good.
You calling in to give us some secret spots?
Yeah, if you're in the Atlanta area, I'll show you where all the big fish are, sure.
Okay. Very cool. You can hear people loading their people loading up their kayaks now.
Yeah. No, I just I've got, I guess, maybe a little unique perspective on it. I've got kind of the idea that there's no such thing as a secret spot.
Huh.
I fish public water everywhere I go except for two places, and I won't tell anybody where those are because you couldn't get to them anyway. But I do a lot of tournament. You know, I'm the odd man out here. I do freshwater fishing unit for largemouth. But most of it's tournaments, so everybody knows where everybody is. Also, since most of that fish public water, I don't mind telling anybody because anybody can buy a fishing license and go right where I go.
Well, yeah, but you tell them exactly where you're catching fish? You'll give them the exact locations?
I'll come pretty close to it. I'll give them, you know, the area of the lake.
Right.
But
But
now the only time that I really will take somebody directly to my spot. If it's someone who's brand new to kayak fishing, you know, I want to get them out there, show them how much fun it can be to go for a good play ride, you know, that sort of thing. There are very, very few places that I won't tell somebody at least what I caught it on or, you know, what area that I would. So,
how about, like, networking and stuff like that? Do you put a lot of faith or trust in all these forums now and things like that? Do you share on there publicly, and do you use information from there?
I'm originally from North Carolina, and I moved down to Georgia about a year ago. Didn't know a single person in Georgia, and everyone I know and associate with now I found on the Georgia Kayak Fishing website.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of posting. I'm on several boards. I've actually gotten together with another group of kayak anglers in the state of Georgia primarily. We started Southern Kayak Anglers a couple months ago. And we do our best to get as many people together as often as possible and fish together. I really do owe most of my kayak fishing success to networking, to the forums, all the guys getting together on Facebook. I'm a pretty big advocate for it. It's a great way to, you know, meet new guys and find new places. For those of us that are willing to share, but I don't think anybody would get anything out of you from the sound of it.
Excuse me?
I said I don't think anybody's going to get too much out of you guys, though, from the sound of it.
Oh, no, it's not like that at all. I share a lot. I do share a lot. That's why I said earlier, I don't, you know, and I guess maybe personally for me, and this might sound, I don't know what, but I also make somewhat of money and a living, not a living yet, but... You know, being a guide and things like that, too, I have to, you know, I have my spots and places that I go for fish, and I can't have, you know, I don't want to ruin those for potential clients and things like that. And I get out there in the morning to show up on my spot that I caught fish with yesterday's trip, and there's three people that I told about it on my spot, and, you know, now I got to back out. And I don't claim any of it. I mean, I'm not trying to sound cocky or anything like
that's my
spot and you can't fish there. But, you know, I will keep it. But, you know, there's another side to that, I think, that by not telling, or like you said, you tell lures maybe, or you tell, all right, I was fishing in 3 to 6 foot of water, is I heard a good analogy called keep the mystic in fishing. You're not helping people either when you give them all the info. If I took you, you know, you never fished in Lynn Haven per se, and I told you, you go right here, at this tide, you throw this lure and you work it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You're not learning anything. You're not bettering yourself as an angler either. And I think that kind of helps a lot of people. You know, that hurts a lot of people, I should say, when they get all their information from people, they compile it, they go to that spot, and they do exactly what that person did, and they catch fish. I don't know. To me, you're not helping them become a better angler. And if that's the type of person, you know, I don't know. To me, I want to learn how to fish an area because I figured it out. Or, you know, you being a bass tournament fisherman or whatever tournaments you fish, I'm sure you got to go to new waters and you got to learn it. You got to figure it out. Well, what trips the trigger for these fish on any given day so you can hopefully go back with some nice tournament winnings.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you said you, it being some of your profession, you know, I know several guys from my father was a tournament, you know, a big boat bass fisherman. And, you know, the guys were pretty tight-lipped about their spot. And for good reason, like you said, you know, you're trying to make a living doing it. And that does carry over to the tournament aspect for sure. You know, I have a lot of guys I fish with just about weekly. And, you know, we're all fun and games, and then when tournament time comes, you know, everybody wants to be first.
That's right.
You know,
I talked about this last week or a week before. You find that especially like when you travel or whatever like that, you follow the forums and stuff. I used to do a lot of traveling tournaments. I fished all down here in Florida, and the forums would be all lit up all like for weeks at a time, and then close to that tournament time, you're right, the fun and games stopped, and like crickets on the websites.
Yeah, for sure. And the frowny faces on tournament morning are always fun to see. Nobody wants to talk. But what I was really meaning was just I'm more of sharing it just to bring people in. You know, your situation is, I think, a little bit unique versus the average kayak angler who's trying to get on a network or a forum. And if he's in an area, or even if he's just new to kayak fishing that he's not experienced with, I think it is vital to share some information to pique their interest and to get them out there. And so that hopefully if they're new to kayak fishing, they don't go out immediately and get discouraged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's definitely, like I said, I didn't want to start out saying I'm a big secretive guy and don't tell anybody anything like that, but you're right, and the forums are a great place for that, and that was why I asked you that, how you use the forums, because you have to build a network some way, somehow. If you're an angler, I don't care who you are, I mean, unless you're just a complete, like, you like to be a total loner when it comes to your fishing, it's nice to have that network, and that's why I was asking, like, do you use forums, or do you put a lot of trust in a forum, or do you rather talk to your buddy that you fish with, or one guy down at the tackle shop that, you know, you can go in there and you're going to ask him where the bite was today and he'll tell you. I mean, because you have to be able to trust somebody, I would guess, or a couple people. So
yeah,
that's why I was asking how you feel about the forum. You're right. It's a great place to share and learn. I tell all new people in our area, you know, go check out one of the many clubs that are in our area, whether it's even – we have some great boat clubs in our area. Fish or fish, whether you learn how to catch them out of a boat or a kayak, they all feed, you know. Doesn't matter which way you're going. So if you don't want to join a kayak club, or just go to a club meeting or check out their forum sites or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It's definitely a great place to get your info and start building a network where you can trust some people. We got another caller on the line, Stu. You stay with us, though. If you got anything else, let me see who else we got here. We got Juan. Hey, Juan, what's going on?
Hey, Mark. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How do you have this warm trend up in PA too?
Oh yeah, it's been warm really about all winter. It's not been a bad winter at all. So we've the fishing's been really good as a result. But I kind of miss fishing in the ice and the snow. We didn't have as many ice chunks on the river this year, so I kind of miss, you know, being able to, you know, paddle around the icebergs out there.
All right, well, you can keep that one, all right? You just keep that up in Pennsylvania, and you can call in anytime you want and tell us about your ice-dodging trips, but we don't need any of that where we live. Thank you.
All right. We'll try to keep it up north.
Just joking, man. So what's going on up there?
Well, a lot of fishing. A lot of fishing, that's for sure. The fish have been, you know, we got warmer. I do a lot of river fishing, as you guys probably already know, and we've got a lot of warm things going on, and so we're kind of ahead of schedule. Water temperatures are pretty much over 40 degrees, between 40 and 45 degrees, which is pretty warm for this time of year. And so we're likely to see an early, you know, early spawn, and we're definitely seeing early pre-spawn activity too, meaning the fish are just starting to get into that heavy, you know, kind of feeding mode, or just starting to move into that. So it's been nice. You get more, you know, lure presentation options when you know, the water's this warm this early.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm glad you called, because this is kind of unrelated, but it isn't. How does that, like, if you have these mild winters, i.e. not a lot of rain, not a lot of snow, because I have a co-worker here that I work with, and he's a big whitewater guy. He doesn't do any fishing, but he's trying to go back home and do some paddling, and they're saying all the rivers are really low, as opposed to, I think it was last winter when we had all that snow, Chris and I, we went to the Rapidan to do a fly fishing trip, and that river was just like, it was I mean, I don't know what it was running that day, but because of all that snow melt off, so the river was really rolling. So how does that affect your rivers and your neck of the woods if we have a mild winter like this?
Yeah, definitely. We're not going to see those really big, heavy, heavy flows unless we got to get a ton of rain. I mean, last year it was, you know, snow melt, ice melt, and then on top of that we had rain, and it was almost the entire spring through March, April, May. I mean, it was hard to get on the river at all. And so this year, you know, right now our water levels are actually pretty manageable. And so, you know, unless we get some major, major rainstorms, you know, which we probably will have, you know, a few here or there as we move through April, you know, we're probably not going to see anything like we saw last year. It was crazy last year. It was really high. I had to cancel a lot of trips in April. As a matter of fact, I think I only got on the river one time in April to guide, and that was it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, so that's what I was. It's a good and it's a bad thing. So
yeah,
on the topic,
I mean,
good. I'm sorry.
The water levels really affect the spawn, and so, you know, last year was a really high spring, and so that tends to negatively affect the spawn, which we always want to see successful spawns here. And so, you know, this year with the water levels being more manageable, you know, I'm hoping that it stays that way and we can get a really nice spawn and get a lot of, you know, smaller bass, you know, young a year, make it through the spring and, you know, and grow up to be to those big citation 20 inches that we like to catch.
Very cool. So let's go with tonight's topic then, Juan. So how are you about all this stuff that we've been talking about? You're a little, I'm sure you have a network. I know you and I and a few others have our own little personal, like Hook One Network and KBF and things like that. But how much intel do you give, take from those? Do you like to share, not? I mean, you're kind of in the same situation as myself because you also guide. So obviously you're not going to tell everybody everything, I don't think. But so tell us a little bit about yourself in regards to that.
Yeah, sure. If you go to my website, kayakfishpa.com, you'll find a Google map there, and it has a list of all the big bass I've caught with little marks on it, GPS marks. So you can, like, everywhere I catch a 20-inch fish, I put a GPS out there. I'm just kidding, Mark.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Wheeler's logging in right now to your site.
Everybody's heart skipping a beat out there. Some guys are starting to, you know, slobber, you know, a little bit, but, now, you know, that's a good question. You know, it depends on how well I know the person. I mean, there are some people that I feel like, you know, I've been online long enough and they've been online and I've, you know, had email conversations with them and, you know, like you say, over at Hook One Crew and so forth. I mean, if I'm really comfortable with the person, I know who that person is, I will likely share some spots with them. You may get to, I mean, I typically, you know, get these random emails, you know, asking about where to fish and so forth. And, you know, I just, you know, the better I know the person, the more likely I am to share a location with somebody, you know, because, you know, I know that, you know that maybe they're catch and release fishermen, which I am, you know, for smallmouth in particular. And that stuff's important to me. You know, for me, you know, kind of changing gears, maybe twisting the topic a little bit, you know, when I have somebody that starts to ask me about, you know, where did you catch that fish or, you know, those kind of things, what I try to do is engage them in a conversation about, you know, how I found the fish, you know, what kind of structure, what kind of flow, you know, what kind of presentation. You know, try to help them learn a little bit about breaking it down, because I think that's one of the reasons – that is one of the reasons I do what I do in my guiding business, which is really teach people to find smallmouth bass, to pattern them and catch those presentations for catching those fish in different situations. And so for me, when I'm trying to help an angler, because I think really what they're trying to say is, I want to catch fish. You know what I mean? I mean, that's right. What they're really saying. You know, I want to catch fish. So for me, they, you know, somebody asked me that along the, you know, along the river, you know, they might get a 15, 20 minute free seminar on, you know, on how to locate the fish. I'm not going to tell them, you know, paddle down to that rock down there and, you know, and blah, 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 and do this or do that. I'm going to, you know, give them a little kind of rundown of the conditions, you know, kind of places that because of these conditions, I'm finding the fish. And, you know, and maybe a couple pointers on, you know, presentations. But, you know, I'd rather have them learn that and walk away with something they can use later, even if it is just a quick, like I said, talk along the river, you know, rather than, you know, saying, you know, go down to this section of the river and do this and do that, you know, kind of stuff. Make sense?
Yeah, and I said that earlier. They're not becoming a better angler if you're just going to basically take them by the hand and put a fish
right.
in the hook for them.
Right.
They're not improving themselves in any way.
Exactly.
And, I mean, if that's the type of person they are, and that's all they care about is just catching fish, then you know, I don't know. They should just go. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't. I don't do that either. I'm a lot like you, or I at least try to educate them or try to help them anyway, and still try to do their own thinking for them too. So. Definitely. No, I don't believe in that. I don't know why people, you know, feel that they want to walk up. It's funny when you said that about emails and people, and I learned my lesson the hard way about this one. I got duped really bad by a guy several years ago. He was calling about booking a trip, and he was asking me, like, kind of questions that a lot of clients, and I'm sure you get it, like, well, what will we be catching, and kind of where will we be going, and, you know, so I'm just trying to, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You're trying to sell yourself. You're trying to put the people on the water. So I was like, oh, we're going to go here, and we'll probably catch this. And, you know, we can also go here and catch that. And I didn't hear from the guy again. And Knucklehead didn't really know who I was, I guess. Ran into him on the water in the areas kind of that I was talking about fishing. And he lived, like, hours away from Virginia Beach. So he made a trip down to our area, brought his own kayak, and went fishing, basically where I told him and I would go if he would book a trip with me. So I was like, no. Oh. You there?
Who are you talking to, honey?
Hello?
Mark?
I thought I went my phone sounded like I went blank for a minute. I'm sorry.
You did go blank, and we all were listening.
Oh. Well, where'd you last hear me?
When you said hello, and then you were quiet.
Okay, so you didn't hear me talking about the guy who called me up and gave me a whole bunch of crap about wanting to go fishing, and then I met him on the water?
Yeah, we did hear all of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm good then. All right, back to our show, everyone.
Why can't I push some of those funny buttons they always touch, like the crickets and stuff? Where is that? Let me find the crickets. You had one of those? Oh, there it is. You had one of those ones.
We lost Juan, too. Where did Juan go?
He dropped. I'm sorry.
Oops. Well, Juan, call back in.
However, Mark Wheeler is on the line again, and I unmuted him because his kids are quiet now.
Oh, he put him to bed.
Because the kids are sleeping.
You're a good dad, Mark. Don't let anybody say any different. That Jack Daniels puts him right to sleep, doesn't it?
No. Wouldn't do that to them. Bailey's on the other hand. No, I'm kidding.
Guys.
Take the chocolate milk, kitties.
Well, Juan, what happened to you? Well, call back in, buddy. Anyway, so where was I? So, yeah, so I was talking about getting duped by a guy. So I learned my lesson the hard way on that one, too. People call booking for a trip. I don't give out too much information anymore because I kind of got sold out on that little phone call from that guy. So. And don't get me wrong, everybody. I wasn't trying to make it sound like you got to be stubborn and not tell anybody anything. You need to share. You need to. That's what I was trying to get everybody to chime in tonight. How they build a network, and things like that. What is she doing?
Chip told me to.
Chris.
Yes.
Uh oh! I heard that.
Chip told me to do it.
Did he? Oh, okay.
Hit the one that says rib shot, okay? Keep talking, honey.
Oh, man. Joking me night. Okay, I'll keep talking.
That's
anyway, Sue, Mark, you got anything else you'd like to add about tonight's topic?
Not really. Well, you pretty much hit it on the, you know, hit it on, rights. You know, you got to, pick and choose who you talk to. And, it's one of those things, close friends, that's one thing, but. If you meet a guy at the boat ramp and you're not quite sure. Thank you, Chip and Chris. When you meet a guy at the boat ramp, you got to use your, better judgment on whether you should, give him those spots or not. So.
Yeah, and you said something to me, and we didn't mention it. We didn't mention it here, okay. But when you get information, too, you better be careful with your information and don't share. Mark said something earlier, if he wants to give away stuff, he'll give it away. But if somebody gives him something, make sure that you don't give it away again, too. So if you got a good friend or somebody that tells you a spot and you go fish it and then somebody else asks what's going on, you probably best to not give that away because you probably will not get any more information from anyone again. So the fishing network's pretty tight, too.
Yeah, here's a question for you. Is it wrong for a client to bring their GPS and mark the spots that they've caught fish on with you?
Well, here's the funny thing. I mean, all right, Chip. Don't worry. You go on the air Thursday night, Chip. I got you, buddy. Honestly, if you go fish with me and most of the trips, and you guys know who are listening, and you, Mark, especially, we're fishing Lynn Haven, Rudy, Hampton, like Pocosin. Most of those places, you don't need a stupid GPS anyway. If you can't do some little land nav and figure out where we were, you probably don't need to be on the water anyway. So, no, it wouldn't bother me. I mean, if that's what you need, if you can't remember that you paddled around the corner from this place and, you know, we fished right here, then you're probably not much of a threat because if you need a GPS, you know where it is. We fish in Lynn Haven. You can see the daggone road half the time. So, no, it wouldn't bother me. I mean, I could see from, like, maybe your perspective or, you know, on a big lake or something like that where, you know, you just wanted to, if it was confusing, a lot of little coves and things like that, and there wasn't much to go by if it was, you know, all woods and lake. So you needed something like a couple of years ago, Chris and I fished, I don't even remember where that was, out in Suffolk, one of those lakes for a crappie tournament out there. I couldn't take you back. I mean, I don't even remember how to get to the lake, let alone where we fished, because we followed people, you know, we went with some locals and fished that lake. So I don't remember where everything was in there. So, yeah, GPS probably would have been nice if I wanted to go back. But for me, it wouldn't bother me on a trip. I mean, no, it wouldn't. You know, like I said, you can't figure it out.
Well, I've got a good question. What about, do y'all see, I don't see it very much in kayak fishing at all, but I did see it when I was growing up with the guys doing the large bass boat report. The guys, you know, blacking out the backgrounds in a lot of the famous lakes.
Yeah, I don't never, and once again, I don't do it where I am, but you know why I don't do it, Stu? Because I don't put pictures up either too often, or I don't put pictures up of, like, us holding the fish, unless it's someplace that, once again, everybody knows we were there, or we fish with a bunch of friends, but I don't put a lot of pictures up anyway with background. I put them up because I'm measuring them, maybe, or something like that, so I don't do that background, you know, blocking out thing. I've seen it, and I've seen it before, like we were talking earlier on forums where there's a tournament coming up locally, but people still want to, you know, show off their big catch, but they're going to block out the background. I told a story to Mark before we started. I had a guy, I used to work in a tackle shop for quite a while in our area, and he came in the store and was asking questions about where to go and catch some red drum. He's a boat angler. Anyway, I told him where, you know, some good spots to go try. And some of the people are familiar with Titlefish. It's a huge forum website. Anyway, he caught some fish, long story short, put it up on Titlefish. And in the background was one obvious house that everybody that fishes Lynn Haven knows, and a buoy marker on top of that, a day marker right there in the picture, and his wife standing on the bow of the boat holding up a nice 27, 28-inch redfish, smiling all happy, and put it on Titlefish. He walked back in the shop a couple of weeks later, and I came around the counter. I said, don't ever ask me for another piece of information again. And he was like, what are you talking about? I said, and that's what I said to him. I said, the only thing you did not include on the picture was some GPS numbers. He's like, well, I didn't think about it. I was like, that's the problem. You didn't think about it. You know, so I'm sure if he went back out there the next day, he probably would have seen 12 of his Titlefish buddies on his site, on his little plot of land there he was fishing, so...
Yeah,
no, I don't know. I don't know. Mark, do you?
Well, I know that I have some spots out in the bay that I found that are wrecks that I try to keep very hush-hush because those are my flounder spots. I hit them all the time, and I always pull big flounder off them. So when I take pictures of them, it's, you know, all you see is open water behind me if I do get a picture off.
Right.
Because, you know, they're close up the shore that if you fished, you know, Chicks Beach enough, and that's the only thing I'll tell you is, you know, it's off of Chicks Beach, you know, you look at the houses, you go, oh, I know what that's at. So, you know, that is where I try to keep it as much as hush hush as possible. So.
Okay.
Do you do that too?
I don't black out anything. Like I said, you know, a minute ago, literally almost every body of water that I fish is public, and it's near either big metropolitan areas where it gets plenty of traffic, or it's electric-only lakes, and it's only 300, 400, 500 acres. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of water to cover, even if you don't know where to go. But there's one lake where all my fish pictures I take are either, you know, butted up against some trees or it's in the bottom of the boat. That's one of the two lakes that I keep to myself and my close friends. But for the most part, I'm pretty, you know, open. I'll tell you what lake, and I might tell you, like I said, what end or what area of the lake. But what Warren said was, I think, a little more what I was shooting for when I was talking about, you know, showing people, well, yeah, okay, that's the part of the lake, but the time of year changes the patterns, changes what the fish are doing. So I would tell somebody, yeah, I went over there, but it's also a matter of, well, you know, the water temperature is this, and the barometer is doing this, and pre-spawn, post-spawn, you know, even that sort of thing affects everything, and I would more gear towards teaching them how to catch the fish than literally pointing out, go to that log.
Yeah, and that was a great point, and that's what Juan said also earlier, that, you know, you can just point it out to them, but it's much better to get them involved and get them to understand why he caught that big fish, where he caught it, and what he was using, and, you know, the time of the year or the presentation that you were making.
Juan
oh,
is
boy.
Back on the line with us.
What?
Juan is back on the line with us.
Oh, okay. Well, I couldn't hear with all the background noise. Ah, silence. I'm gonna bring a couple of donuts when I come home.
You better not.
Juan, you back with us?
Yeah, I think. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Oh, great. Awesome. Thanks.
I don't
know what happened
something
there.
I said.
No,
I
don't know what happened there. It might have been. I don't know. Maybe I was just trying to check out the online reports and trying to find some spots of fish or something.
Did they get your intel together?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I don't know. I thought I forgot to pay my internet bill or something, man.
Yeah, that's how we get paid. You got to pay that bill so we can get paid over here on this end.
You
got to get more buttons for Chris to press. So the more money we get, the more buttons we can get and sounds for her to play with.
Is that a bad thing? It seems like everybody's enjoying it. I mean, it's not like I'm hitting wrong buttons.
Hey, it's all good. Remember, I can log on to their shows, too, during the week, and I can just push away. So it's all good.
Tom Vanderheiden just said, Juan has a radio voice. So does that mean you want to hear more from Juan? Let's see.
Just don't ask me to sing.
Is that right?
Well, based on the size of the smallies you've been catching up there, Juan, keep talking.
Yeah, we caught a few this year. We've been pretty lucky. We were talking about spots, and one of the things that I don't – I'm sorry if I'm cutting in here. Am I cutting in on somebody's
– No.
No, we were just – no, that's what I just asked
okay.
all the people
yeah.
on the phone line, if they had anything else they wanted to add to tonight's topic. By all means, go away.
Yeah, I think one of the things that as anglers we have to be careful about is times of the year when fish are really concentrated, when they're really vulnerable. And, you know, one of the times of year that they're pretty concentrated, at least on rivers, for the smallmouth is in the wintertime. I mean, there's these areas that we find, we call them wintering holes. And, you know, folks like myself and, you know, Jeff Little and some of the other guys, we spend a lot of time researching maps and looking at flows and going and check out water and try to find these places where we know these fish are probably holed up. And then, of course, we go in and fish them to kind of verify that there are large numbers of fish in those areas. So, you know, when you're on spots like that, you definitely, you know, I don't think I would tell – my own kids were fishing at the time, at those times, because those are spots where the fish are pretty vulnerable. They're there, they're stacked up there in the wintertime, and so I tend to be more secretive with those kind of spots. I usually find guys when I take them in there.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I just tell people we're gonna launch at zero dark, and I'll drag you out for a while, and then we'll fish.
Yeah, I know. We
took, you hear earlier.
Sorry, bud. You know, Jeff and I took a guy from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation fishing. He did a radio show actually while we were floating down the river, which was interesting. How do you record a radio show while you're fishing? But he did it, and you know, we did some video too. And you know, one of the things that I asked him, you know, right off the bat is, you know, because we were saying things that might pin down that location, and it was a wintering area. You know, we asked him right away, hey, can you get stuff out? Can you not say this? Because those spots are so vulnerable. And he was more than willing to work with us on that, you know, and still get the stuff he needed, you know, without, you know, giving away the area that we were fishing in.
Right. Mark asked earlier, I don't know if you heard it, if you were back on or not yet, but about GPSs or something like that. What's your idea on that if you take clients?
I don't take them out to show them spots on the river, and so I would ask them not to have GPS. I've never had anybody pull out a GPS or ask me about it. I probably should make that clear in the beginning, but I guess until I run into that situation, I think most of the folks that come with me, book a trip with me, I think they know what I'm about, and you know, they don't really try to, you know, whip out their GPS and start marking spots. I'd probably take it from them and throw it in the water anyway. So,
yeah, I don't know if you were listening. I said we're most of the areas that I fish. If you need a GPS, then you probably don't belong on the water, because you can use a bunch of land nav to figure out where we are, and half the time you can almost see the trucks at the launch. So,
and that's the same thing on the river. I mean, these guys are going to know the places where I'm taking them, and hopefully though, I've talked to them enough, I've showed them enough, that they're going to really have the information they need to go out and challenge themselves to find their own spots, because that's really the fun thing. I mean, no, you know, you've done that, Mark. You know, there's a sense of, you know, accomplishment when you're out there and you're finding your spots. You can, you know, study maps. You can go to the water. You can poke around, do some recon trips, and you finally nail that really good area, you know, that you can fish time and time again and still find fish there. So hopefully the folks that go with me, they get that kind of mindset, that kind of mentality where, hey, you know, I don't need to come back to the same spot on the river every time. I can go out and find my own spots based on what we did today.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I started it with. It's definitely the part of figuring it all out. I mean, anybody can just sit there and wait for something to happen, but going out and learning it. When I was down here in Florida, we went and did filming for Native TV, and we were fishing with Steve Gibson over in Sarasota Bay, and I kind of left the group, and Woody and them were like, what'd you go over there for? I was like, because I wanted to go find my own, you know, do my own fishing. I mean, I'm in Florida, and I get a chance to go fish, you know. I was like, yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out the pattern and what the trout were doing over here, you know, as opposed to they were all huddled up around the film crew and everything, and I was like, nah, I want to go figure it out on my own. I mean, so you're right. And that's the way, when it gets to that point that you don't want to learn or you're not learning anymore, then there's something wrong. You shouldn't probably be doing it, is my mind. Get out there and do it.
You got it. Yeah, you got it. Put in the time. That's the fun part.
It's rewarding.
It is.
Some people, however, it is easier to just pot lick off of somebody else. Even if you think you know a person, or at minimum, some people should, I don't know, maybe call it good sportsmanship. If you do take a person that you think you know well to your spot, and they elect to go back to your spot with somebody else without asking you, at minimum, you should be asking that person, hey, you want to tag along or whatever, in order not to make it so obvious.
Right. Chris is speaking from experience, Juan. She took somebody fishing someplace they had never been before and went back and found that person, just like we were talking about. Mm-hmm. They claimed it for their own spot now, never had been there before. So her lesson, she learned her lesson the hard way, like a lot of us do.
Yeah, I kind of assume when I give a spot to somebody that they're going to give it to somebody else. So that's my mindset to begin with. And so if I take them there, I guess I'm not too worried that folks will go, because I think it's human nature. You know, they're going to have a buddy, they're going to take them to the spot. So I don't worry about that too much. Or else I wouldn't have taken them there in the first place, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, very cool. So what's coming up for you, Juan? It's the first time you've called in, so I'm going to ask you some questions. So what's coming up now? You got
a lot of stuff.
A book?
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff going. I've got a lot of bookings, a lot of trips, you know, in April, May, in June. I'm going to be at Cabela's this weekend for 2 days on Saturday and Sunday. Not going to be doing a seminar, but I'm just going to be there with my fishing gear, my kayak, and talking, you know, fishing to whoever comes by. It's called the Captain's Weekend, where they bring in a bunch of guides. I think about 15 or 20 guides will be there at Cabela's in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. That'll pretty much end my seminar string. And then, you know, in April, I'm going to start getting into guiding. I've got actually an interesting trip planned in May. I'm going to be going with actually some guys from KBF down to the Devil's River in Texas. And so that's been a trip we've been planning for about a year. And we've kind of kept it hush-hush because we weren't sure we could put it all together. But now, you know, everything's pretty much locked down, and everything's a lock. And so we're definitely going to go. We've got all of our plans made. We're actually going to be – it's going to be a fun trip. We're going to take a camper so we can drag all of our kayaks down so we don't have to, you know, find gear when we get there. So we're taking all of our gear the whole way to Texas. It's a 29-hour drive. And then, wow, you know, getting on the Devil's River. We'll be on there for about 5 days. That's going to be tons of fun.
Jeff going?
No, Jeff's not going to go. There's a couple guys from KBF and then one other guy that I know that I fished with for years from the Philadelphia area. It's going to be a good time. We got four guys, all of them are kayakers and campers, so we're going to be on the river for 5 days. It's really remote. There's about a 2 hour plus 2.5 hour drive through the desert to get to this river. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Very cool. Well, you should call back in when you guys get back and give us a report from your trip.
I'm prepping a blog for that, just for that trip. And so we're going to be doing video and we're going to be doing blog posts while we go. And so as long as we have access to technology and we can get it out there, we're going to send it. And even when we're on the river, we're going to be doing video. And then on our way back home, it's about a 29-hour drive. So we're going to have a lot of time on our hands. And so we'll be posting and doing the video as we come back, too, so folks can keep up with what we're going to do. And I'll get on kayak, on some of the kayak fishing sites and post that blog out there for folks who want to follow us as we take our journey. Then when I get back, in June, I'm going to be doing my boot camp. I've got guys from Tennessee is the farthest away. Tennessee, New York, Ohio, Virginia, West Virginia. I've got guys coming from my kayak fishing boot camp. Give guys a day of seminars. Then we hit the river for 2 days, like an overnight camp on an island, rough it a little bit, act like, you know, the backwoodsman guys, you know, and catch some fish and hopefully, you know, have some good stories to tell when we're done.
Very cool. Your blog info on the Kayak Fishing Radio Facebook page.
Yeah, I will. Definitely.
Share it over there on our first landing page, too. We'd love to follow you on that. That sounds very interesting.
Will do. It's going to be a great trip.
You got to come down for the boondoggle.
Oh, I hear you. I'm thinking about it right now. It's in my head.
Bring the old toast with you.
I know. He's got two of my fishing rods. He's got two of my TFO rods. He's holding them for ransom now. I've got to get in touch with him. So getting down there would help me get my rods back.
Be careful. He carries a gun, you know.
That's all right.
Well, cool. Well, we hope to see you down there and keep us, like I said, feel free anytime to call in and let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods and definitely get us that information for that blog for your trip coming up. We'd love to keep up with that. Sounds like a blast.
Will do. Definitely.
All right, Juan. Well, thanks for calling. We're going to start wrapping up. Let me go talk to our other phone guest here. Stu, you still with us?
Yeah, still here.
All right, cool. So what's coming up for you real quick? You got any tournaments on the line? I think you mentioned in the beginning of the show that you were fishing one this weekend or something.
Yes. Like I said, the group I mentioned, Southern Kayak Anglers, we've got a tournament this weekend in Stone Mountain, Georgia. It's actually our first tournament of the year. We're going to be doing tournaments in a couple different states. We've got a smallmouth tournament up in North Carolina that we're putting together. It might even be a two-day tournament. We're going to try that idea out for size. But, yeah, just lots of tournaments. The first one for me this year is this coming weekend, but I've got, 22 or 23 on the calendar for the rest of the year. So it's going to be a busy
one. Very cool. So where do people that are interested find the Southern Kayak Anglers? Are you on Facebook?
We are on Facebook. We've got a page. We've also got a Facebook group for Southern Kayak Anglers. We have a forum that you can find. It's Southern Kayak Anglers. It's a pro board forum. And we've also got a Southern Kayak Anglers website that we just got up not too long ago, and you can find that at Google or anywhere else.
Very cool. Well, thanks for calling in tonight. We appreciate it. Like I said to Juan, you are always welcome to call in the show and let us know what's going on. Give us some fishing reports. We'll keep it quiet, okay?
All right. Sounds, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, man.
It's only the World Wide Web. We won't let anybody know. You just call us, and the few of us that are here, we'll make sure that we only know.
I'll email you GPS coordinates.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. I'll leave some breadcrumbs when I go out.
There you go.
Take the Pringles out. Have you ever heard of the Pringles chick trip?
No, uh-uh. Never heard that one.
The striper? Well, I was in my boating days. We used to take, the best thing is, like, you know those big metal drums that have popcorn in them, like the Boy Scouts sell and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, the big bag?
Yeah.
Take that out on the boat with you, and you're waiting for the birds to go off, looking for a big glitz or stripers or whatever. And you'll see, like, something start to form in the distance. We used to take a bunch of popcorn and throw it overboard because it would get all the seagulls to come over and just start eating it. And then you haul away from there and go to where you want to fish, and you'll see all the boats out in the middle of the bay trolling around, and they'll pick up everything, and they'll come flying over to where all those seagulls are diving and bombing, but they're just eating popcorn. But you got them off of the area you wanted to go fish, we just dump popcorn or crush Pringles up or something, throw it overboard and get those seagulls. I don't care where you are in the bay, you could be in the middle of the bay with not a bird around. You throw some food overboard, and seagulls just, like, literally come out of nowhere. So it was just a little fun we used to have out there on the water.
You have fun out the water? That is so not true. You're probably single-handedly the most serious person I've ever known on the water.
Oh. I don't have buttons to press and make background noise.
Oh, yeah.
She's calling you out, Mark.
Yeah, she gives me a hard time about that all the time. She's like, you're too serious about this.
Oh, my God. On the way to the water, I almost want to get out of the truck. It's either get out of the truck or open the door and push him out. I mean, it's the most stressful part of getting to the water with Mark. It's terrible. He's all serious and thinking, and I'm like, sipping on my coffee, just having a good old time. Not him. Mm-mm. All focused on where he's going to fish, what he's going to throw first. Does he have everything tied on right? And I'm like, okay, whatever. Let's get to the water first.
You know, I'm having a hard time thinking how that's not normal, though.
See?
Wow. You're supposed to have a good time.
I do have a good time. Once I get out there and I start catching fish, I'm fine.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Okay, well, I got to wrap this show up now. Thanks. No.
Let me see if I have more buttons to push.
All right. Well, you're getting ready to push the exit button because I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. It's 9:15.
Is it?
Let everybody get out. Yeah, yeah. We've been running our mouths for an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Right. Kayak Kevin just learned this showed up. All right, Kevin, well, I'm glad you made it, and we're getting ready to leave. So give me a call, and I'll fill you in with a show in 5 minutes. No, anyway. All right, well, thanks to all of our guests that called in tonight. Thank you, Juan, Stu, Mark. Thanks for all of you in the chat room. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this wouldn't be as much fun and we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you guys out there listening and chatting on the chat room. I try not to keep up with the chat room because sometimes it gets a little crazy in there, but I do thank every one of you. Remember, any one of you are always welcome to call in, ask a question, give us a fishing story. Always interested in finding out what everybody else is doing. You don't have to give us any places you're fishing. We already discussed that tonight. That's out of the question. So, but thank you, everyone, for listening. It's my time to give my little shameless plugs for my sponsors. Of course, Native Watercraft, Daiwa Reels, Astral Buoyancy. Get our new PFD. Should be coming to the house today, so I'll let everybody know about our new sponsor, Astral, and our new PFDs that we're going to be sporting this year fishing. You guys get any of those Daiwa Coastals yet? Are you talking about the spinning reels? Oh, he's talking to Kevin at the shop. The 153Hs are the way to go. The spinning reels are no longer available. They stopped making the Daiwa Coastal spinning reels, RLE, if that's what you're asking about. So you won't see those anymore unless you can find some leftover somewhere. Anyway, great reels. Where was I? Oh, sponsors. So if you guys aren't familiar, go check out our Facebook page, First Landing Kayak Fishing. They'll be join us over there. Like I said, once I get back home and Chris and I start getting out in the water, we're keeping you up on all the fishing in the area. Don't forget about the Boondoggle coming up quicker than you know it. It'll be here. I saw Chris put up some links tonight for First Landing State Park, so you guys can start booking your place there. Hope all of you can. There it is again, just like that. So thank you, everyone. Chris, you got anything to get us out of here?
You know, as usual, no matter where you're fishing, hope everybody tight lines.
All right. Good night, everyone. Thanks again. Hit one of those buttons that you've been playing with.
Which one you want me to hit?
I don't. You seem to went through them all. So pick your favorite from the end.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.